Perek Mem Aleph. We're holding in the middle of the perek. We read what happened last week about the first two dibros that Hashem said directly. We read it a little bit quickly, so I'll read it again, and then we'll go a little bit more into it. Yotza Kol Rishayin. That's what we're up to. Yotza Kol Rishayin. The first voice went came out. Hashem said, "Anoich Hashem Lekecha," and there was a whole uproar in the Bria. The Haaretz Hashemayim Roar Shemimenu. The heavens and the earth started making noise, made a rash. Va'yame ve'han Haaretz Baruchu, and the seas and the rivers started flowing backwards. They ran away. Hehorim ve'agvayis nismaitetu. The mountains and the hills were displaced. Va'kol ilanis karu, and all the trees came and they bowed down in front of Hashem. Va'mesim shebesha'ol choyu, and all the dead people in their graves came back to life. Va'amdu al raglehem, and they stood on their feet. Shneimar, it says in the pasuk. Now this pasuk is actually talking about when Klal Yisrael renewed the covenant with the Kadosh Baruch Hu by Arvas Mayav and Parshas Netzavim, but Parshas, it's Hu Adin, that when they originally made it by Matan Torah and Har Sinai, it was the same idea. So it says in the pasuk, "Kias Asher Yashnai Po Yemanu Oimed Hayom." So it literally means "Kias Asher Yashnai," those which exist, "Po Yemanu Oimed Hayom." Here they are standing with us today. But there's two ways to understand what the drush is. Es Asher Yeshnai could also mean those that used to exist. Yesha, they used to be here. So those that used to be here are standing here with us today, meaning all the people that died, they came back to life, and they're standing here with us. That's one pshat the Radal says. The other pshat the Radal says is, Kes Asher, don't read it Yeshnai, but read it as like Yoshnu. All the people who are sleeping, the people who are dead, so they're poyimanoimeram. They're standing with us today. Like when a person is dead, it's called like he's sleeping. Uru yesheni makitzu hakitzu meirdaschem. We'll wake up. It's talking about the dead people coming back to life. My Rebbe used to say that. You want to sleep now? Wait till you're dead. Then you're gonna sleep. You're gonna sleep for a long time over there. But that's the lashon of Yoshu. The Radal brings a few psukim where you see that the lashon of sleeping is talking about death. So all the people that were dead, they came back to life by Matan Torah. B'chol ha'sidim lihibalais atzayv kol adayis shomam doimoy b'har Sinai. And all the people who are destined to be created all the way to the end of all generations, people that weren't born yet, but they will exist. Also, they stood there with us at Har Sinai. Shneimar, it says in the pasuk, "Ve'eis asher einanu po imanu hayom," and that which is not, those that don't exist, einanu, still po imanu hayom. They're standing with us today. The pashut pshat in the pasuk is that it's talking about those that are with us and those that weren't born yet. We're accepting the covenant for everyone, but not that they were literally there, but they were accepting it on behalf of their descendants. But the Medrash over here is darshaning it that it's going on the people that died and came back to life, and it's darshaning on people that weren't born yet, that their neshamas or however, whatever it means, they were also there, even though they didn't exist yet. Okay. Last week we asked the question, so why is V'Yisrael Shehem Chayim, the Jews who were alive, and when they heard Anoich Hashem Aleikacha, Naflu Apneihem Vomesu, they fell on their faces and they died. So last week we asked the question, how could it be, why is it that the people who were dead, so their reaction to Hashem saying Anoich Hashem Aleikacha was that they came back to life, and the people that were alive, so their reaction was that they died. What happened over here? Okay, we'll discuss that in a few minutes. Fine. So somebody pointed out last week that, I think it was you maybe, that it, now it doesn't say that they came back to life before the second one of the Dibros. It just says that they died, and then it says that sort of that they came back to life after the second of the Dibros.
But doesn't, in another place it says
that they heard the first one, they died, then they came back to life, then they heard the second one, they died, they came back to life. Okay. V'yotza kol sheni. Then the second voice came out, and Hashem said, Lo yilecha. V'choyu. And they came back to life. V'omdu al ragleihem, and the Jews stood on their feet. V'omdu l'maisha, they said to Maisha Beinu, Maisha Rabbeinu, our master Maisha. Einanu yicholim l'shmoya kol yishal kodesh baruch hu, u'masnu kem sheim shemasnu. We cannot hear the voice of, we are not able to hear the voice of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. If we do it, we're going to die, just like we died previously. Shneam says in the Pasuk, Nafshi yatzav v'dabroi, my soul left when he was speaking. The soul of the Jews left when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was speaking. So they're saying, we don't want to hear the whole Aseres HaDibros from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because we're going to die. And like there's a Gemara in Mesachas Megillah that says, on Daf Zayin Amavid, that says that they made a Purim Suda, and Rabbah got up, called Rabbah v'ashchatei l'Reb Zeira, he shechted Reb Zeira. So the next year, he invited him back for his Purim Suda, and he said, the Gemara says that Rabbah got up, he shechted Reb Zeira. And then he davened, and Reb Zeira came back to life. Right? So the next year, he invited me here for Purim Suda, he says, no, who said that I'm going to have the same nace this year that I had last year? Maybe you're going to come and shecht me, and then I'm going to be killed. So at the same time over here, the Klal Yisrael saying to Moshe, you know, we heard the first one, and we died, and we came back to life. There was a special day. So we heard the second one, we died, and came back to life. But we don't want to hear it anymore, because maybe we're going to die, and we're not going to come back to life. So we don't want to hear it anymore. We don't want to hear it directly from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Uchzir in the Pasuk says, V'yemer al Moshe, Demer ata imanu v'nishma. They said to Moshe Rabbeinu, you speak to us and we'll hear this as it is. We don't want to hear it directly from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. B'shama Kodesh Baruch Hu Kailan Shal Yisrael V'Aravlei. And Kodesh Baruch Hu heard the voice of Klal Yisrael, what they were timing, that Hashem shouldn't say to them that they should hear from Moshe Rabbeinu V'Aravlei. And it was sweet to him. Meaning Kodesh Baruch Hu agreed to what Klal Yisrael was saying, that they shouldn't hear it from him, they should hear it from Moshe Rabbeinu. We asked also last week, Why was HaKadosh Baruch Hu so agreeable about this? I mean, it's like a shtickle bizarre. Hashem is talking to you and you're like, I don't want to hear from you, I want to hear from somebody else. Why did Hashem agree to that? What's happening over here? Okay, the next step. So what happened? So what happened was that for some reason, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to do that. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to say over the rest of the Aseres HaDibros instead of Hashem. So what did Hashem do? V'shayel u'gavriel v'achazu b'yadav shal Moshe shalich irsoyne. So Kodesh Baruch Hu sent Michal and Gavriel, the two malachim, and they grabbed the hands of Moshe Rabbeinu shalich irsoyne, not according to his will. They forcibly grabbed Moshe Rabbeinu v'yigishuhu el ha'arafel, and they made him go into the dark clouds. Shenamar, it says in the Pasuk, Moshe nigash el ha'arafel. Moshe approached the dark cloud. Noigesh ain't ksiv kan. It doesn't say he is approaching. That's not really the Jewish, but the Radal says it's supposed to say a gosh ain't ksiv. He approached. It doesn't say he approached. Nigash. He was approached. He was made to approach. Meaning he didn't go of his own will. The Malachim Michal and Gavriel pushed him to go into the Arafel, and then he was the one who was going to say the Dibros. The Radal also says an interesting point that the word nigash, the gematria equals Michal v'Gavriel. And then he says that he saw that Rav Shimshon Master Polya says the same thing. So the Michal and Gavriel made Moshe Rabbeinu approach the Arafel. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to go willingly. Of course, the question is, why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu want to go willingly? Ushar kol hadvarim diber Moshe. Then the rest of the Dibros, Kodesh Baruch Hu spoke with Moshe instead of saying it directly to Klal Yisrael, and Moshe Rabbeinu said it to Klal Yisrael. V'ara v'kosu v'aymer, about Moshe Rabbeinu, the Pasuk says, Kitzina shalek b'yoyim kotzir, like the cold of a snowy day on the yoyim kotzir, on the day of the harvest, which is gishmak, because when you're working in the harvest season, it's like right now, this time of the year. In fact, the Pirush Marzu says, Yom Kotzer is talking about Shavuos, because Shavuos is called Chag HaKotzer. And that's why we read, start from Bikurim. That's why we read Rus on Shavuos, because it says that Rus happened, the story happened, Bimei Kitzir Chitim, which is talking about Shavuos time. So the cold of snow, to have like a nice cold day in the middle of the summer, because you're out in the field harvesting, is a very gishmaka thing. and something you can look forward to. So too, Tzir Neman L'Shalchav, an agent who is trustworthy to the one who sent him, is also, it's a Geshmaka thing to look forward to. So the Medrash is saying that Moshe Rabbeinu was a Tzir Neman L'Shalchav. He was a trustworthy agent to the one who sent him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't directly say over the rest of the Dibros to Klal Yisrael. He sent Moshe Rabbeinu to say it over, and Moshe Rabbeinu was the Tzir Neman. That was sort of based on what Rashi and Mishlei says on that pasuk. Oh, one of the things I missed out, the Radal in the Hosafos Ois Yud Aleph, he brings that in some girsas of Pirkei Deblezer, it says by when the first of the Dibros came out, it says that the sun stood in its place. We saw a whole bunch of different descriptions of what happened in nature, and so one of the things was that the sun stood in its place. But our girsa of Pirkei Deblezer doesn't have that. Okay, so basically. Okay. So we read this story again, we had a bunch of questions. Right? We said, first of all, why is it that the people who were dead came back to life and the people who are alive died? And second of all, why is it when the Jews said to Kadosh Baruch Hu, to Moshe Rabbeinu, we don't want to hear it from you, we want it from Hashem. Why did Hashem agree to that? And third of all, we said, why is it that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to take over? Why didn't he want to go into the Arafel and say over the Dibros to Klal Yisrael? Why did the Malachim have to come and force him to do it? What's happening over there? Okay, so these three questions are asked by none other than Rabbi Leo Meizmir in his Pirush V'Lo Yoyed Ela. We're going to discuss some of the things that he says. Okay, first, why is it that the people who died came back to life and the people who are alive died? So he says that When we're talking about when Hashem said over the first of the Aseret HaDibros, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, and the Ruach of what he calls the Ruach Piv Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the spirit of the mouth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not literally mouth, but that when Hashem said Anochi Hashem Elokecha, the sound resonated all over the Bria throughout the whole entire creation. And we know that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu first created Adam Rishon, so it says, "Vayipach ba'apav nishmas ruach chayim." The Kodesh Baruch Hu blew into his nose nishmas ruach chayim. The Targum says that it was some sort of spirit that gave it Adam Rishon the ability to speak, which that's the neshama. The point of the neshama, what separates a man from an animal. Animals have nefesh, but people have neshama, which is a higher level than a nefesh. A neshama is the ability to speak. So when a Kodesh Baruch Hu blew in a ruach memalala, the Targum Unkelus Parshas Bereishis calls it, the ability to speak, that's what a Kodesh Baruch Hu gave from himself, part of himself, kibiyachol, put it into man and gave him the ability to speak. That's what a neshama is. It's a part of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So when Hashem spoke and that ruach went all over the world, so in the dead people who are just what's a dead person? A dead person is just a goof without a neshama. So the speech of a Kodesh Baruch Hu went into their guf because it went all over the world. And then when you have a guf and a neshama, so now you have a person, so they came back to life. That's how it worked with the people who were dead. That's why they came back to life. Other people who are alive, so it works a little bit differently. There's another idea working here, and he says it over here, but it's other mafarshim say it about other things as well. I'll first speak out the way they say it. It's brought from the Rebbe Reb Heschel. He speaks about, there's a pasuk that says, "Ki lo yirani ha'adam v'chay." A person can't see a Kodesh Baruch Hu and live. If a person sees Hashem, he's going to die. So the Rebbe Reb Heschel, the Rebbe of the Shach, so he asks, why is it that if a person sees a Kodesh Baruch Hu, he's going to die? What's the reason behind it?
So he says
it's either one of two things. He says either it's a punishment, like Rabbi Epstein said, meaning it's a bizarrion that Hashem is on such a high being that you go and you look at Hashem, who are you? So you look at Hashem, you get a punishment, you get killed. Right? That's lo yirani adam b'chayim. That's one way of looking at it. But the other way of looking at it is no, it's a metzius. It's that's the nature of how it works. You look at Hashem, die. Why? So they say, he says, you see, you have a calf, and the calf is, you know, walking around and enjoying itself, playing around, and then the calf sees its mother. So what does the calf do? It goes and runs off to its mother. Or I had a better mashal, because it happened to me this week. You know, you have your kids at home, and you went out somewhere, so you have a babysitter. So the kids are playing nicely with the babysitter, enjoying themselves. And then you come home, and what do? You open the door, they see, oh, they run over to the door. Oh, tati, tati, tati. What happened to the babysitter? Forget about the babysitter. I'm going to my tati. Right? So they say that's the pshat in Ki Lo Yirani Adam V'Chai. When a person sees a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and we know that the neshama comes from a Kodesh Baruch Hu, like we just said, so the neshama looks and says, oh, tati, tati. So it just like jumps out of the person's goof and wants to go connect back to Kodesh Baruch Hu. So that's why it is Ki Lo Yirani Adam V'Chai. It's not a punishment, but that's the nature of it. When the neshama sees a Kodesh Baruch Hu, wants to go back to Kodesh Baruch Hu.
And that's the famous explanation that I heard once, like at the goof and the neshama are on different levels. Somehow Hashem put it connected, but Hashem is not here. He's here. He's everywhere. The thing is, the presence of Hashem is different here and there. So seeing Hashem is not. You couldn't see him in this world. It means like the only thing they can see Hashem is the neshama, not the goof. So that's why people kivechol die.
I hear. You're saying it's because it's beyond the physical.
Yeah.
I hear.
The seeing of Hashem is. I don't know what
it's a slightly different twist, but it's the same idea.
Die in order to see Hashem, not the person who sees Hashem and dies, because it's that the goof cannot see that, because the goof is limited.
Right.
And Hashem cannot be in this completely in this, I don't know, reveal in this.
Right. It's the same idea. It's not Marmish exact thing, but.
What's going to happen about Tekiyah? Then we're going to be able to see Hashem.
Oh, so that's what we're talking about. The people that died. They came back to life by Matan Torah. So how did it work that they came back to life, and that the people that were alive, the Jews that were alive, when they heard Matan Torah, they died? It's like, what was the difference? So the Rebbe Reb Heschel says the difference between these two pshatim. Why is it that if the person sees Hashem, he dies? Is it because it's a punishment, or is it because that's the metzius, that the neshama wants to go back to the Creator, to the Father, just like a calf wants to go back to the cow? So there's a difference. He says an afkamina between these two explanations. If it's a punishment, he says, we know that malachim, the angels, they could look at a Kodesh Baruch Hu, because they hang out over there in the realm of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So he says that a tzaddik is on, the Gemara discusses in Sanhedrin, if a tzaddik is greater than a malach or not as great as a malach. The Gemara basically comes out that a tzaddik is greater than a malach. So if a malach could look at Hashem and not get punished, so a tzaddik could also look at a Kodesh Baruch Hu and not get punished. So if the reason why if a person looks at Kodesh Baruch Hu and dies is because it's a punishment, so that doesn't apply to a tzaddik. And if it's not a bezayin, because he's also on a higher level. But if it's a metzias, so it's a metzias, so then even a tzaddik. The Rebbe Heschel, it's brought in the Chanukah Satorah, but Parshas Vayishlach, I believe, he has a whole nafkamina that I don't want to get into about Yaakov Avinu, why Yaakov Avinu Dafka sent angels to Esav. I don't want to get exactly into that, but it's a very nice vort that the Rebbe Reb Heschel says. In his Talmud, Rebbe Eliezer Trillinger, has a Sefer Mishnas. Rebbe Eliezer, in about four or five places in the entire Sefer, he talks about this idea, and it has different equipment. But the point is, just to take out this idea, that when a person sees a Kodesh Baruch Hu, so his neshama wants to jump out and go back to where it was. So Rebbe Leomi Isra explains that's what happened over here as well. That when the people that were alive heard a Kodesh Baruch Hu, so we were talking about seeing. He's talking even by hearing, when they heard the voice of a Kodesh Baruch Hu saying, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, so their neshamas jumped out of them and said, oh, we want to go back to Hashem. Masha'enke, the people that were dead, that didn't have a goof, so then when Hashem's voice, when Hashem's ruach went all over the world, and then the neshamas went into all these goofs that didn't have neshamas, so they came back to life, because that's what a person is. A person is a goof with a neshama. So that's basically what Rabbi Leomi Isra answers to this question. I want to maybe say a similar idea. You could say a similar idea that based on the Sefer Achinuch in Parshas Voeschanan, the mitzvah Tov Chof Aleph, he's talking about the mitzvah of Tefillin Shel Yad. So this is why did Kodesh Baruch Hu give us the mitzvah of Tefillin Shel Yad? And he says this in general about several mitzvahs, not just about tefillin shel yad. He says that the teva is that choymer, let's call it gashmius, the physical things, go after physical things, and spiritual things go after spiritual things. Right? This is similar to what we were saying, that the neshama wants to go to the bigger to Hashem, which is like a bigger neshama. So a physical thing wants to go to a physical thing. It says like a horse wants to go to a horse, like it said in Perek Mem Beis by Paro. So there was a female horse, and Paro was riding on his male horse, and where did the male horse go? Went right after the female horse, because the physical wants to go after the physical. And a horse is completely gashmis. It only has a nefesh, doesn't have a neshama. So it says that when a person is focused on gashmis, so then he's going after gashmis. When the ikr by him is the gashmis, so he goes after the gashmis. When an ikr by a person is the ruchnis, so he goes after the ruchnis. So Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us the mitzvahs of tefillin, shaliyat, and then he says about several other mitzvahs over here. He says, and also tzitzis, and also mitzvah Talmud Torah, and also tefillin and mezuzah, all these things that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave it to us to have us focus what's supposed to be our ikr. Our ikr is the neshama, the ruchnistic. And once we make that's our ikr, so then we're going after the ruchnis. We're going to try to get more and more ruchnis. But when we forget that and we're not focused on that, so then we think, oh, the ikr is the physical, the gashmias, then we start going after the physical. So Hashem wants to stop us from doing that. He gives us all these spiritual mitzvahs to keep us focused on the spiritual. So if that's true, so if you have a person who doesn't have Torah mitzvahs, a person who's dead, meis nasa chofshi min a mitzvahs, hayoyim ma'asayisam, but do you do mitzvahs today when you're alive? But when a person is dead, there's no mitzvahs, right? So a person who's dead is just like is no different. Let's say a horse. It's just gashmis. It's just gonna go after gashmis. So when the person is alive and is focused on mitzvahs, so then you could say this vart that Rabbi Leo Meizmer said, that the neshama wants to go to Hashem, because that's like the father of the neshama. So the neshama wants to go to the bigger neshama, because the ruchnis wants to go back to the ruchnis. So that's why the people who are alive, the Jews that were getting the mitzvahs, getting the Torah and the mitzvahs there, they were focused on the ruchnis, so then the ruchnis wanted to go to the bigger ruchnis. But the people who were dead, they weren't getting any mitzvahs, they were just there. Why were the people who were dead, why did they come back to life by Matan Torah? I don't know why. The Radal asked the question also, why do they have to come back to life? Who cares? Like, what was the point? He asked the question.
Who said that? The Doha? The Rai said that the Mechayim, that he came back to life?
What?
The
Kumi the Zohar also said, but in Pirkei Avot Eliezer it says that.
What is it saying? Did they came back to life?
Yeah.
All the dead.
Oh, it says all the dead people that had previously died came back to life and were standing there by Matan Torah, and all the people that weren't born yet were standing there. But so the people who are dead, they don't have mitzvahs. So when they were standing, they're just a piece of gashmias. So then they're a piece of gashmir. So then you're not going to say, oh, their neshama is going to go leave them to go to the bigger neshama. Because by them, the ikr wasn't the neshama. They don't have Torah and mitzvahs to focus on the neshama.
Okay. And the point of dead people, the
people
they were, they're not
born yet. It's the same thing. No, so it could be that the people are not born, even though right now they're not getting mitzvahs, but since they're going to get mitzvahs, so you could say that they're focused on the mitzvahs. I hear the question. I don't know. I don't know how to answer that part.
But how do you say that the people that are dead are gashmir? They will. They see Hashem. They vote with Ruchnis. They don't vote with Gashmi. Even though they don't have mitzvahs,
if they were dead and they came back to life and they don't have mitzvahs, so then what's a person without mitzvahs? A person without mitzvahs is the same thing as an animal.
Yeah, but once they come back to life, aren't they mechayev mitzvahs?
Okay. Oh, so now you're getting into a different question. Now you're getting into a question like this, which is a whole interesting discussion. But and I don't want to get too much into it, but okay, it's a very interesting discussion.
But you can't say that they're involved in the mitzvah. They're mechayev mitzvah. Once they're mechayev mitzvah, they're obligated to mitzvah.
So it could be you're right. But like this, if a person, there's a question like this. If a person dies and comes back to life, is he the same person or is he a different person? This is a question that they ask.
Oh, one second. Meet a mechaper. The guy's not the same guy. The clock starts over, right?
Mechaper means that he has an atonement for his averus. Does that mean he's a new person?
That's what I'm saying. The person is what he's done in life to. So now he's got a new chance. He's got to learn again everything. Maybe different parents, different family, different everything.
So in some way that's true. But like, let's say.
You have his
averus. Oh, well, so let's say Reb Zera, yeah? So we mentioned the story of that Rabbi Shechter Reb Zera, Gemara Megillah, right? And then he came back to life. Right? So the Ben Ish Chai...
Also the famous story about Rabbi Yochanan that killed Rabbi Kahana, and then he went to the...
To the cave.
To the cave, and he
The same idea. You can ask the same question.
Brought the same person alive again. The same person.
One second. So the Ben Ish Chai in the Sefer Ben Yoyada on Megillah, he asked the question. Now, when Reb Zera died and came back to life, does he have to do another kiddushin to his wife? Because maybe he's not the same person. And then he goes a step further. He says, all the Jews that were by Matan Torah, that they all died when they heard Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, and then they came back to life, do they all have to get remarried because they're different people now? See, he doesn't know. He's misupik. There's a lot of rayas both ways, that you are a new person, you're not a new person. They bring a raya. I think it was the Adaris brings a raya from the Gemara beginning of Yuma that says that in the future when Aaron HaKohen is going to come back to life, so he's going to have to redo his chinuch. When a Kohen starts the avodah, he has to do chinuch to dedicate himself and bring certain karbanas in the beginning. So the Gemara says he's going to have to redo it. So that sounds like he's a new person. It's not the same person. Most of the Poskim also discuss this in Eben Ezra Simon Yud Zayin. It's talking about in the Pesachei Tshuva he brings from the Birki Yosef, from the Chida. It's the Pesachei Tshuva Sifkat and Aleph in Simon Yud Zayin. He says, what's the halacha if a person dies and comes back to life? Do you need a kedushin to your wife again? And he brings also his Masubah guy, the story of Reb Zera, and he brings a few other ayahs. And he comes out that you don't, that you're considered the same person, because the fact that you came back to life, that shows that when you died, it wasn't really a serious dying. Okay, but there's Rav Chaim Kanievsky has a whole shtickle talk about this in one of the volumes of Siach HaSadeh. It's a whole idea. But this was the first question Rabbi Leo Meizmer asks: why is it that the people that were alive died, and the people that were dead came back to life? The second question, he asked like this: when after the first two dibros, so Klal Yisrael said to Kodesh Baruch Hu, to Moshe Rabbeinu, we don't want to hear it from Hashem anymore. We want to hear it from you. And the Medrash said, he was happy with it. So we asked the question: why was Hashem happy with it? Isn't that a bizoyan? If I'm talking to the king, and then I say, you know what? I don't want to hear it from you. I want to hear it from one of your couriers. I don't want to hear it directly from you. That's not a bizoyan to the king. It's an affront to him. I don't want to hear it from your face. I want to hear it from somebody else. Well, so
every time I heard it, passing his mother, nobody
wants. The same there, but then you're going to tell the guy, you're going to tell the king to his face, and you don't want to hear it from him. He's the king.
So I'm not.
You don't mess with the king.
You don't say shh.
Yeah. You just be happy he doesn't jump head off. You know, that's the king. So Rabbi Eliyahu Meizmer says to.
It's not an Arab king.
Says two answers. He says, first of all, it's not a bizarre to Hashem. On the contrary, they're showing that they're covered, and they're showing that they're so scared of Hashem and that they honor Him so much that they don't want to deal with directly. They'll deal with the side person. No, I'm not worthy to deal with you. Yeah, that's one pshat. The other pshat, a little bit deeper, he says that. Why did Hashem agree to it? Because we know that Hashem wants to do good to Klal Yisrael. That's the whole point of the creation. Everything is Hashem wants to do good. Hashem wants to do good to Klal Yisrael. So Klal Yisrael realized that if we hear all the dibros from Kadosh Baruch Hu, or at least Hashem realized that if they hear all the dibros directly from Him and not from Moshe Rabbeinu, so then if they do an avera chas v'shalom, so the punishment will be worse because you heard it directly from Hashem and you're going against it. If you hear from a shliach, you hear from Moshe Rabbeinu, so maybe you can get a lighter punishment because you didn't hear it directly. So because Hashem wanted to do good to Klal Yisrael, he agreed and said, okay, I'm not going to say it directly to you. We'll use the shliach.
But the first two we heard directly from Hashem.
Right.
So it was possible for them. If God forbid we worship idols, we finish, man.
Right. that's dangerous.
Not really.
But there's another point over here. Okay, yeah, there's another point like this. There's a medrash, Rabbi Leo Meizer brings a medrash, Shmais Rabbah. It says that when Klal Yisrael did the eagle, so Moshe Rabbeinu davened to Hashem to save them from destruction. What did Moshe Rabbeinu say? One of the things that the Medrash says is that Moshe Rabbeinu said to Hashem, look, you said that there's a difference to them, but you weren't talking to them, you were only talking to me. You weren't really talking to all the Jews, you were just talking to me. Why? Because it says in the Pasuk, I am Hashem your God. It doesn't say Hashem lekechem, you in plural, it says you singular. So you must have been only talking to me, not to all the Jews. So you can't punish them, because if you look in the Aseret HaDibros, all of the Aseret HaDibros are said in singular form, not in plural form. Lo yihi alecha elehim acherim. Doesn't say lo yihi alechem elehim acherim. Zachor is Yom HaShabbos l'kadshah. Doesn't say zichru is Yom HaShabbos l'kadshah. As if Hashem was talking to a singular person, not to multiple people. So, because of that tiktok in the Lashon, so there was some sort of opening from Moshe Rabbeinu to say to Kadosh Baruch Hu, look, maybe you weren't really talking to all the Jews, you were talking just to me. And therefore, when they committed the horrible sin of the golden calf, so you can't hold them responsible because they didn't have the Aseret HaDibros, it was only to me, it wasn't to them. That's what the Medrash says. What? Now, of course, this Taina is in a way, Chas v'Shalom to say such a thing, but shtiyot, because we know Hashem is talking to them. Why did Hashem say in a singular form? I don't know why. You could say maybe because, like we said last week, that Vayichan Sham, or it was 2 weeks ago, Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahar, was said in, that they came to they camped in front of the mountain, was said in singular form because everyone was doing it together. So Kadosh Baruch Hu said it to them in singular form as if everyone was going together. They were all accepting the Torah together. So that's why Hashem said as if he was talking to one person, not multiple people. But of course, Kadosh Baruch Hu was saying it to Klal Yisrael. But according to what we're saying, Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't directly say it to Moshe to Klal Yisrael. Hashem said it to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu said it to Klal Yisrael. Now, if
there's a word on that because of the why singular lashon and not plural lashon, because people would come to say, look, the majority is doing so. I
know.
So it says in the Torah, like, most of the people are doing so, and I'm going to do it. Maybe just like maybe it's more to do it. So it's not to me directly. So I think there's a word on that.
Could be. I'm not sure exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. Then he has a whole another shtickle. Torah, whatever. Kids, the Ikar Nekudah is like this. I wanted to sort of say that Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't he asked a question. Rabbi Leomi Isma asked a question that we just said that Moshe Rabbeinu Taina that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't give the mitzvah of Avodah Zarah to Klal Yisrael. He gave it dafka to Moshe Rabbeinu, not to the whole Klal Yisrael, and that's what got them out of punishment for the Egel Azav. But Be'etzim, if you the Egel Azav, the Israel of Avodah Zarah is in the second one of the commandments. Lo yelach elohim achim v'lo yisrael avdim. So Avodah Zarah is already from the first two, so how can you say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't give it to him? I'm not sure exactly. But he asks a different question. He says that the Gemara in Yuma says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, after the Egel Azov, so they grounded up the golden calf and they made it into a fine powder and mixed it up with water and they gave it to drink to everyone, and the people that served it got punished. And the Gemara says all kinds of different punishments. The people who really served it, that offer sacrifices and stuff, they got killed with a sword, and the people that just hugged and kissed the golden calf, so they got killed with Askara, which is a throat disease, and then the people that were just, they were happy about it, but they didn't actually do anything about it, so they got Hadruka, and a different disease, and the Gemara says that each person that had to do with the Egel Azav got punished. But if we're saying if Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu told Hashem don't punish them because they didn't get the commandment, so then why did they get punished? So he answers, because even if they didn't get the Aseret HaDibros, but still Ben Noach is not allowed to do Avodah Zarah, so they were getting punished because they were still Ben Noach that were Avodah Zarah. But the way I want to understand it is that Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't really saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu don't punish them because they didn't get the commandments. It's very hard to say that they didn't get the commandment. Of course we got the Torah. What's the question? I think maybe what happened, you could say that Moshe was sort of saying like a lamedusha reason. He was saying, don't punish the Jews because they were like shaygig or oinis because the Erev Rav sort of convinced them to do it. That's really why they should be off the hook. But there's a concept in the Gemara called amigu. Amigu is that you know, believe me when I say a certain claim in court, because if I wanted to lie, I could say a better claim and achieve the same goal. So Moshe Rabbeinu was sort of saying, you know, listen to me that they shouldn't get punished because, you know, the Erev Rav was the ones that messed them over. They weren't really doing it from themselves. And listen to that claim, because otherwise I could have claimed that, you know, if you look really closely at the Lashon of the Seis HaDibros, it sounds like it's only talking about a singular person talking to me, not talking to them. Maybe that's what Moshe Rabbeinu meant, like amigo. He didn't really mean that they didn't get the commandments. I'm not sure. Okay, so the third question we asked was, why is it that afterwards, when Klal Yisrael said, we don't want to hear it from Kadosh Baruch Hu, we want to hear it from Moshe Rabbeinu, so why is it that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to go up there and say it to them? The Medrash said that Hashem sent Michal and Gavriel, and they grabbed them by the arms, and they brought them into the dark cloud, and then Moshe Rabbeinu said over that says, why didn't he want to go originally? Why did he have to be forced? So one pshat, Rabbi Yomi Izmir says, is pashat, some pashat pshat, because Moshe Rabbeinu was the Anov. He's not going to go like stand up in front of Klai, so okay, instead of Hashem, you know, I'm going to take over instead of Hashem now, and I'll tell you that Sarah said Dibros. He was the Anov. He was more humble than that. So Hashem had to send the Malachim to go sort of force him to do it. But he says a little bit deeper pshat. It says like this. We know that a Navi can temporarily suspend any Isser in the Torah. Right? The Torah says don't do such and such. A Navi can tell you for a limited time only, you're allowed to do such and such. And sometimes it's even you're supposed to do such and such. Right? That's one of the powers that a Navi has to temporarily suspend an Isser in the Torah. The only exception is that a Navi can never tell you to do Avodah Zarah. The Torah says, you know, don't turn on the lights on Shabbos. If a Navi comes, a proven Navi comes and says, you know, Hashem said that for the next few weeks you're allowed to turn on the lights on Shabbos, so we believe him. That's the halacha of a Navi. But if a Navi comes and says, oh, for the next 2 days we're all going to be serving the Baal, no, we don't believe you. You're not a Navi, you automatically become a Navi Sheker and you get killed or whatever. A Navi cannot tell you to do Avodah Zarah. Even if he's been a proven Navi, Hashem will never tell a Navi to tell you to do Avodah Zarah. A Navi does not have the power to suspend the Isser of Avodah Zarah. A Navi only has the power to suspend other Isurim, and only temporarily Pashtus, and not Avodah Zarah. What's the difference? Why Avodah Zarah not and other Isurim yet? So the Mefarshim explained, because Avodah Zarah is the first two commandments. The first two commandments we heard directly from Hashem. So since we heard it directly from Hashem, a Navi can't suspend it. We heard it. You can't come and tell us. Don't listen to that commandment. Every other commandment we heard didn't hear directly from Hashem. We heard it from Moshe through Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, even though Moshe Rabbeinu's Darg of Nevuah, we said last week, was on a much higher level than other Nevi'im, we could still hear the idea that one Navi could come and tell you, you know, what that Navi said. You could is temporarily suspended. We can hear such a thing. So that's why a Navi could suspend other Yisurim, because we only heard it from Moshe, but we didn't hear it from Hashem. So based on this idea, Rabbi Leo Mizra explains why Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to originally say the Seres HaDibros over. Why he didn't want to say the rest of the Seres HaDibros. Because he realized that if he's the one that says it instead of Hashem directly, it could come to be that Nevi'im will have the ability to suspend the mitzvahs. And he didn't want it that there should be any way of suspending mitzvahs. He wanted a complete... Because we know that the mitzvah is the ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he didn't want it that there should be a way of circumventing the ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he didn't want to do that. And then when Klal Yisrael asked, you know, we want to hear from Moshe, not from Hashem, so Hashem agreed. Why? Because Hashem said, no, I dafka want it to be this way. I dafka want it to be that a Navi could suspend the mitzvahs of the Torah in certain circumstances. That's why Hashem agreed and said, Moshe, but you say the rest of it. I'm not going to say the rest of it. You say the rest of it over. And Rabbi Leo Mezmer says that historically we find that that's gufo what strengthened the Isra of Avodah Zarah. This ability for a Navi to suspend Isurim, not of Avodah Zarah, but let's say there's Isra that you're not allowed to bring a korban outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Yeah. But what happened with Eliyahu HaNavi in the showdown with the Nevi'im of the Baal? So Eliyahu HaNavi at Har Carmel brought a korban outside the Beis HaMikdash. How could he do that? a Navi could suspend the Isurim of the Torah temporarily. A Hirah Shah from a Navi, that's why they were able, Eliyahu Navi had a special Navua that said, you're allowed to bring a Korban on Har Karmel outside of the Beis HaMikdash, so that's why he was allowed to do it. And that itself strengthened Klal Yisrael's belief against Avodah Zarah. After that, when it was Eliyahu Navi versus the Nevi'im of the Baal, the Nevi'im of the Baal were trying to bring a Korban and it didn't work, and Eliyahu Navi tried to bring a Korban and it did work, a fire came from Shemaim for him, and all the Jews fell on their faces and said, Hashem Walekim, Hashem Walekim. So that strengthened the Isra of Avodah Zarah. It didn't weaken it. It didn't weaken Klal Yisrael's Kiyum of Mitzvahs. It strengthened it. So that's why Kodesh Baruch Hu was happy to have Moshe Rabbeinu say it instead of himself saying it. That's called Eitz La'asos La'Hashem, Eferus Resachel. It's also called Bitula Zuhi Kiyumo. You know, being Mevatalit, that's the way of keeping it. Of course, you know, we don't have Nevi'im nowadays, so we don't have such a thing. We have the Torah, we have the halachas, and we can't change it. But a Navi who has a special relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu could change it.
Sometimes the wife will tell her husband to do certain things in order to have some bite. So in a way, it's like that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, in some way. I mean, a Rav is not going to tell a person to go against halacha and do something that's mamish aser, but he'll tell you, you know, in certain circumstances, you can be makel or, you know, different things like that. In the halacha also, you know, the Ramah says, you know, b'shas adchak you can be makel, or b'diavad you can be makel, or if it costs too much money, you know, you can be. There's different. So it comes out according to Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, what happened was, Kodesh Baruch Hu said the first two of the Dibros, and then Moshe Rabbeinu said over the rest of them. Maisa, the Radal brings down, it's a Machlekes in Shir Shirim Rabbah, in the Medrash over there, what happened? Did we hear all 10 Dibros from Kodesh Baruch Hu directly? If you look in the Pesukim, that's what it sounds like. It says Hashem spoke to Klal Yisrael, it says, Anoich Hashem Lekecha, Lo Yi Alecha, etc. Lo Yisrael Hashem Lekecha, it goes through all the mitzvahs. It doesn't make a difference between the first two and the rest of them. The Pesukim sounds like Hashem said all of them to Klal Yisrael. That's one pshat in the Medrash. That's the Rabbanon, and Rabbi Shua ben Levi says no. They only heard the first two, and the rest of them they heard from Moshe Rabbeinu. The Ramban and also Rabbeinu Bechaye in Parshas Yisrael explained that no, really they heard all 10. They want to explain how the Pashim Shah and the Pesukim and these two opinions in the Medrash are not really arguing. Really, they heard all the Aseres Dibros. But they didn't understand it. They only understood the first two. Moshe Rabbeinu went and he re-explained it to them. Okay. It doesn't mean they didn't understand it. It doesn't explain. But the Radal brings from the Gra in his Pirush on the Tikkunei Zayar, Tikkun Chaf Beis, that the Gra says that first HaKadosh Baruch Hu said all of the Aseres HaDibros at the same time. Bevas Achas. And then that's like impossible to hear. You don't have what's going on. Then he went and he said it over again. And then he said the first one, and then the second one, and then, which is when they died and came back to life, whatever, and then they said, we don't want to hear the rest, and then Moshe Rabbeinu said over the rest of it. So that's how he puts together the Pashup Shalom Psukim, which sounds like they heard all 10 from Kodesh Baruch Hu with the Midrashim that are saying they only heard the first two.
So something I don't know if there's a question here, but interesting point. That must be the...
No, it's not.
Twice.
First of all, it's not. First of all, the stomach, you're right, that is probably painful. Second of all, it's not up to you. Third of all, I don't know, I haven't tried it yet. Or at least I don't remember. I don't know if it's painful. I'm not sure.
No, what's the reason, you know, behind this thing that, oh, we can hear from Hashem again.
I don't know.
Well, what's the reason? Why not?
I don't know.
Well, obviously when
they were
when you hear loud music, it hurts your ear, right? So you want to turn it down, or you want to put something in your ear. The same thing over here. These big overwhelms.
There's intense thunder and lightning. Loud noise.
But the spiritual aspect of the sound.
You're saying. say not exactly the fact that they died. It's just the experience that happened before that caused them to die. It was like too much.
Traumatic. When you have a traumatic experience, you don't want to go through the
danger.
Alright, let's go weiter. It says in the pasuk, "Vayhi kishamachem es akol mitoich hachishach." Says when you heard the voice from within the darkness. So the Medrash asks, "V'lama hishmiyah Kadosh Baruch Hu es koloi mitoicha eish v'achayshach v'lo mitoicha ar?" Why did Kadosh Baruch Hu have his voice be heard within fire and darkness? Why not from light? Torah is like chachma. Chachma is light usually. So why is the Torah, which is light, coming from darkness? What shaykh is darkness? It should be coming from light, not from darkness. Why was it dark by Matan Torah? It should have been light by Matan Torah. So the Medrash says a mashal. L'ma adav radayme, to what is this comparable? L'melech, to a king, shahaya astrologus, who is a king who was an astrologer. You have the word shahaya loy astrologus, but the Mefarshim take out the word loy. It doesn't mean he had an astrologer, it means he was an astrologer. V'haya masi b'nai isha, and this king who was an astrologer, you could see the future, he was marrying off his son. V'tala b'chupayis b'nai pareichias shcheres v'loi pareichias levanis, and he was hanging by the chuppah of his son, by the wedding canopy, black curtains instead of white curtains. Agrolei b'nai paltin, so the people of the palace said to him, Adineinu amelach, our master the king, ein adam tala b'chupas b'nai ela pareichias levanis. A person only hangs by his son's wedding. White curtains. Why are you hanging black curtains? Don't you know it's out of style? Amalahem. So he said to them, Yedea ani she'en b'ni mamten es ishtay ela arboyim yon. I know, because he's an astrologer, I know in the future that this son is not going to keep, he's not. It literally means he's not going to wait for his wife for 40 days. He's not going to keep his wife for 40 days. The Radal says that it means that he knows through astrology that there's going to be a fight and they're going to separate. Within 40 days, this marriage is going to be gone. It's going to be over. Shelo yemu lo mochar astrologus lo yadea me'os le'ari b'levnai. So I don't want people to say, this astrologer, he's supposed to know the future. So how come he didn't know that his son is going to, get separated from his wife within 40 days? And why is he putting up a whole big white canopy or whatever by the wedding? So I dafka put black, so that in 40 days from now, when they get separated, you're gonna know. Oh, that's why he put black, because he realized that that's what's gonna happen. So kach hamelach zakadosh baruch hu. So too, the king is the nimshal. The king is a kadosh baruch hu. Va'ben shelo yisrael. The son that was getting married was kal yisrael. Va'kala zoya torah. And the kala was the torah. Kal yisrael was marrying the torah, similar to what we spoke about last week. That it's like a lashon of erusin, like a marriage, not like Shabbos Etzi, who literally took a sefer Torah under a chuppah and so to speak married it. But Kadosh Baruch Hu was sort of an allegorical wedding. And Kadosh Baruch Hu knew that the Jews are not going to keep the dibros for 40 days, because 40 days later, right, from Shavuos till Shivas or Batamas, which was when they did the Egel, it's 40 days. Hashem knew that they're not going to keep it for 40 days. Therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu had his voice be heard from within a fire, and instead of a fire in light, it was a fire in darkness, to show that there's some sort of mourning and some sort of sadness happening here. Even though it's a big simcha, but Hashem knows the future that it's not really going to be such a big simcha for long. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Medaber Adam im Chaveray, when a person speaks to his friend, Hu nira v'koloi lo nira. When a man speaks to his friend, so I'm speaking to you, you can see me, you see him, but you don't see my voice. You hear me, but you don't see my voice. V'Yisrael shamu koloi shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'ro'u es hakol. Klal Yisrael by Matan Torah, they heard the voice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they saw the voice, Yotze mipi hagvura uvrokim uramim, and they saw the voice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the lightning and the thunder. You ever saw thunder? No. You don't see thunder. You hear thunder and you see lightning. But here at Matan Torah, Rashi and Chumash also brings this down, they saw the thunder. You can see a hearing. What does that mean? I don't know what that means. We cannot know what that. I don't know what that means. B'chol. What does Rav Tetz say?
Bekitzer, very bekitzer.
Yeah.
But this is all be pshat. He says this is not a.
Yeah.
All be pshat. When you see something, you see what is in
front of you.
Front of you, the whole thing. You see it. It's true. It's there. Instantly, everything that's in front of you is there instantly. When you hear something, you hear step after step after step. You don't know how I'm going to
say it until you say it.
Hey, until the end. And then you put out everything together and you have a concept. But it's step by step by step. So over here, Torah is that they saw the kolos, meaning when you.
I mean, they didn't literally see it. They saw the whole hearing in front of them.
When they saw the hearing, it's that hearing is a process of a step by step by step, and only at the end you know that you heard something. Over here, they saw the sound. That it was not a process. That it was all right there, right then, in front of them. They didn't have to put part by part by part.
Very interesting.
They could tether. It was just Torah was like there. Even though Torah is a process of step by step by
interesting.
Step.
Interesting. That works very well with what he said from the Gra.
Even though it was supposed to be a process that you're supposed to go through, only at the end you know what you're supposed to see.
It's interesting.
You saw it instantly.
It works very well with what we said from the Gra, that Hashem originally said the whole Torah bevas achas in one utterance, in one moment, all of it together at the same time.
Which is an inyan of seeing, because when you see something, you see it all together in one picture.
Interesting.
That's what Rav Katz explained. This is all Peter pshat. This is nothing.
It's a good pshat. I like the pshat. Shneimar says in the pasuk, "V'chol ha'am royim es ha'koleis ve'es ha'lapidim," and all the nations saw the voices and the torches.
The halacha is when you hear the, what are you supposed to say? Natan Koya, Hashem is a book, right? He said for lightning, he said for
Shekoychay gvorasay mali oilam.
So you can't say that unless you see the lightning first.
Right.
Is that correct? In other words, you have to see the lightning first, and then you can say the bracha on the
thunder. Right.
Because if you don't see the lightning, then there's no liar that lightning produced that thunder.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
And Chazal say, "Ain't a hearing something is not the same as seeing it.
Seeing is knowing. Right. Hearing, you're not sure.
I don't remember what the pshat is, but they also they say that in the Gemara, when the Gemara wants to bring a proof to something, so it says Toshma, come in here.
Yeah.
In the Zohar, when it brings proofs to things, it says Tochazi, come and see.
Yeah.
I forgot what the word is, but it also has something to do with this difference between seeing and hearing.
Correct.
What?
He also says this. That
also, like when you tell somebody a vart, when you tell somebody a vart, you tell him an idea. So he says, "Oh, I see." And if you tell it to yeshivish a guy, he says, "I hear." I don't know what the pshat is. No, you hear?
I hear.
Okay, weiter. Mitzvah shabatayra shesh mitzvah shleishas ve mitzvahs. All the mitzvahs in the Torah is 613 mitzvahs. Ushtayim shidibar Kodesh Baruch Hu, and if you take two mitzvahs that Kodesh Baruch Hu said himself, b'fichach nikra Torah. Therefore, it's called Torah. Uminyan Torah sheish mitzvah achas esrei ushtayim dibar Hashem shenemar achas dibar elikim ushtayim zu shamati harei sheish mitzvah shleish esrei. It's a little the lashon over here is a little bit confusing, but it's really this is just quoting a gemara in the end of Maseches Makos Chaf Gimel Amud Beis. This Gemara is probably the most famous Gemara that ever exists, and has probably the most amount of Mefarshim written on about it. The Gemara Maseches Makos Chav Gimel Mvez Chav Talam Aleph. Torah Shrebi Simloi. 613 mitzvahs were said to Moshe Rabbeinu. Shloish Miyos V'Shishim V'Chamesh Lavin. 365 negative commandments, like Kaminim Yimaisachama, like the days of the solar calendar of the solar year. Umasayim Arboy Mishmoyin Asrei. And 248 essay positive commandments corresponding to the 248 limbs of a person. Omar Rav Hamnuna, my crow, what's the pasuk? How do you know that there's 613 mitzvahs? This is the most famous Gemara. 613 mitzvahs. Everyone knows 613 mitzvahs. Even a reformed Jew knows. What does he know from Gemara? 613 mitzvahs. My crow, how do we know what's the pasuk? It says the pasuk. Torah tzivolanu Moshe Mayrasha. Torah tzivolanu Moshe Mayrasha. Moshe gave us a Torah. What's Torah? Torah, the gematria, shis mea v'chatzri. Torah in gematria is 611. Shis mea v'chatzri havi is 611. Anoichi, v'lo yiyya lacha mipi ha'gvura shemanum. And Anoichi and lo yiyya lacha, the first two of the sisters, we heard it from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So 611 plus those two is 613. The word Torah is Gematria 611 plus two more mitzvahs that we heard from Hashem, which is 613. So that Torah is 613 mitzvahs. Now this is the most amount of Mefarshim, because what are the 613 mitzvahs? Well, the Rambam wrote a whole book about it, and the Ramban wrote a whole book in the Smag, and the Smak, and the Chinuch, and the Rabbeinu Tovar HaKlechavi, and Rav Sadia Goyin, and Azharis of Rabbi Avoyin HaGadol, tons of the Tashbits, and everyone wrote tons of Svarim about how to count the 613 mitzvahs. But everyone, the Gemara says 613 mitzvahs. The continuation of the Gemara over there is very interesting. It says originally Moshe Rabbeinu gave us 613 mitzvahs. Then, as the generations came, and you know, 613 is a big number, so it became less and less. Not that the mitzvahs became less, but like, if I'm to tell you what do I have to do, what does Hashem want from me? So I'll tell you 613 things that Hashem wants from you. So yeah, that's a lot of things. So as the generations progressed and people devolved, so different Nevi'im came along and said, you know, we'll put it into like 10 categories. The Gemara says, but David v'miran al-chadis, right? David Malach came and said, put the 613 mitzvahs into 10 categories. Shana'am t'chsiv, it says in the Pasuk, Tilim Perek Tezvav, Mizmul David, Hashem, mi agur bo'aracha, who lives in the tent of Hashem? Mi yishkein b'har kodshecha, who lives on the mountain of His Holiness? Who? What does Hashem mean? Who is a good person? What does Hashem consider a good person? Hayloch tamim upoyel tzedek v'dover emes b'lvavoy loyregal al shenai loy asel reyehu ra'a v'charpa loy nasa al kroyvoy nivza ben of nimas v'es yirei Hashem yichabed nishpa l'ra v'loy yomir katzpa lo nasa b'neshech v'sheichad al noki loy lokach. Also, Ela, a person does all 11 of these things, lo yimayt la'olam, he's not going to be displaced forever. And then the Gemara explains what each of these 11 things exactly means. And then the Gemara goes and says, comes along Yeshaya, it says, David Melech said 11, and in subsequent generations, Yeshaya came and said, 11? Well, I'll give you 6. Yeshaya, hoylech tzedakais, v'dever meisharim, mayetz v'petza, na'ashkais ne'yar kapov, Mismaych Bishaychad Aitim Azna Mishmaya Domim Vaitim Ain of Mirais Bara Vahirich Tzedakis. I'm sorry, Vaitim Ain of Mirais Bara, that's 6. And then the Gemara says, explains what each of these 6 categories means. Then the Gemara says, comes along Micha, another Navi, and he says, I'll give you 3 things. What are the 3 things? It's Haftarah. What's this Haftarah for? I don't remember. It's Haftarah. I think it's like the last pasuk in Sefer Micha. Higid l'cha adam matoyev v'mashem deresh m'cha. Tell a person what's good. What does Hashem want from you? Kim ases mishpat, do mishpat v'avas chesed v'atzei alachasim Hashem leikecha and be tzanua. These are all 613 commandments could fit into these 3 categories. And then the Gemara says, and then Yeshaya came back, and we said Yeshaya made it from 10 to 6. And then Micha made it from 6 to 3. Yeshaya came back and went from Micha's 3 to down to 2. people want to say that there's two Yeshayas, because the first one is Yeshaya Lamed Gimel. This is in Yeshaya Perek Nun Vav. In the academic world, they take the book of Isaiah, which is very big, and they split it into two. They have Isaiah and Deuter Isaiah. That's in the book critics. That's the two. So this could be. So they want to say, oh, this is the second Isaiah, because this is in the later chapters, Perek Nun Vav. Really, the main thing that's bothering the academic world about it is because the beginning of Yeshaya is talking about all the bad things that are going to happen to Klal Yisrael by the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash or whatever, and then the good things, the second half of Yeshaya is talking about all the good things that are going to happen. And they couldn't understand how one person could be saying good things and bad things, and they don't like that. But we understand that first you need to say we have the plus the Puranias, the 3 weeks between Shiva Shabbat Tammuz and Tisha B'Av. So we have Haftaras for 3 weeks saying all the Puranias that's going to happen, and then afterward the Shev D'Nechamta, the seven Haftaras of Nechama. I think all of them are from Yeshaya, or all most of them are from Yeshaya. I think all of them are from Yeshaya. They're from the second half. The same Navi gives good Nevuahs and bad Nevuahs, that whatever Hashem tells him, this is the way it is. It doesn't bother us that the same Navi says, okay, but so one of the things that they say is, oh, this Gemara has Yeshaya, and then Micha, and then Yeshaya again, and they want to bring a Raya from this Gemara, but Stam Shtiot.
And what about Hoshaya? He put it on one.
So Yeshaya said, Koyamar Hashem, Shimru Mishpat V'Asut Stoko. What does Hashem want? Koyamar, this is what Hashem says. Shimru Mishpat V'Asut Stoko. All mitzvahs can fall into these two categories. Mishpat and Stoko. What's Mishpat and Stoko? That's a time for a different discussion. But that's a discussion for a different time. Isn't it? But then the Gemara says, so he says two. Then the Gemara says, either Amos came and said, there's one thing. Koyimah Hashem, the basis. So, Dishuni Vichil. Just be Derish Hashem. All mitzvahs fall into the category of Derish Hashem. Or, the Gemara says, or the other pshat is that it was Habakkuk came along. Not Hoshaya, it was Habakkuk. Comes along and says, Tzadik Bemunah Sayichia. Tzadik lives with his Amunah. Everything falls into the category of Amunah. Habakkuk Perek Beis. Interestingly, Habakkuk, the end of Perek Beis and Perek Gimel is the Haftarah for the second day of Shavuos in Chutz Laretz. We don't have second day of Shavuos. But that...
What about Moshe? When he brings his kid, he said the only thing you have to do is fear Hashem.
What? Oh, you're right. It's saying good. It says in the Pasuk, V'atah Yisrael ma Hashem lekech shel me'imach kim liyiros Hashem lekech. So how does that work? I don't know. How does that work with 613? And maybe that fits into this point. I don't know. It could be the Gemara talks about it. I don't remember. Could be the Mufarshim speak about it. But what time is it?
10:35.
Okay. I had another word I was going to say over, but we'll just finish the parak right now instead. Rabbi Pinchas Omer. Rabbi Pinchas says, Kol Oisei Hador Sheshamu Kol Shal Kadosh Baruch Hu. That entire generation that heard the voice of Kadosh Baruch Hu Bahar Sinai. Zochu liyos kemalachei hasharis. They merited to be like the ministering angels. Lo tipas karim b'yemehem. They didn't see any accidental seminal emissions in their lives. Lo mashu behem kol minei kinim. And when they died, different types of lice didn't eat up their bodies. This means that when they were alive, they didn't have lice. And when they died, they didn't have worms and rima v'seleo eating them and being ruling over them. Ashrehem ba'olam hazeh, they're fortunate in this world. Ashrehem ba'olam haba, they're fortunate in the world to come. Ba'aleihem akasuv omer, about that generation, the pasuk says in Tehillim, Ashrei ha'am shekach alay, fortunate or praiseworthy is the nation that such is to them. And just one thing to leave off with, the Marzu, Pirish Marzu says, shekach alay. Shekacha is Gematria Moshe, right? Shekacha, the two chafs is a mem, and then you have a shin and a hey. Gematria Moshe. I don't know what he's trying to say, what he means by that, but it's an interesting idea. Alright, good Shabbos. Thank you for coming. Next week, we'll be back to normal Perek Yud Aleph.